So we're going to begin on the Daf Yud Zayin Amud Beis. New Perek. The connection of this Perek to the previous Prokim is that we're continuing on the subject of exemptions from Kriyat Shema, as we were discussing. And we're giving other examples of people who are exempt from Kriyat Shema. But the truth is, in doing so now, we are going to get into a whole unique subject. The subject of an Oinin. Very unique concept. When a person, relative, immediate relative, died prior to the burial, this person is in a very unique status called Oinin, in which he is exempt of basically Kol HaTorah Kula, everything. I'm sorry, before the burial, up until the burial, exempt of everything.
Everything positive.
Everything positive, that's right, as we'll see. Certainly right. Certainly does. This is not his opportunity to go have a pork meal. Yes. We'll see. We're gonna get into the ins and outs of it, but that is how we paskin today. In fact, it's challenging because, as we'll see soon, it's to the extent that it's usur to make brachas, and people do it automatically. It's usur to even answer amen if you hear someone else make a bracha. We'll see. A very unique concept, the concept of an oinin, which is on the one hand based on the general concept of oisik b'mitzvah patur min ha-mitzvah. Right, the basic idea is that he's preoccupied. It's incumbent upon him to tend to the burial arrangements. That's the job of the immediate relative, and therefore, since he's preoccupied with a mitzvah, he's potter from any other mitzvahs. But as we'll see soon, this is unique. It kind of stands out. It's a league of its own, even within this concept, because we'll see soon its parameters actually go beyond the concept of oisik b'mitzvah potter min ha-mitzvah in a few ways. This is given a special importance because of the immense chashivas that we attribute to the dignity of a dead body. We may have quoted in the past the Ramban, who says that a human body mamish has the kedusha of the Sefer Torah, then it has to be treated with utmost reverence. And as we'll see soon, we take extreme measures in ensuring sensitivity and care for the honor of the dead person.
But
so,
the mice today, in those days, it's one thing. Today, Chas Hashem, a person should be in that position. But you go take an hour by a grave.
I'm sorry?
Take an hour, you go to the cemetery by a grave. You call Shem, because you do theirs and take another half an hour. And if they want to show up,
oh, okay, so we'll see. That will all be factored into our discussions. But it's not quite as simple as that. There's discussion with the Chevra Kadisha. There can be issues of price, there can be issues of location. There are Lemaisa, the relative does have a lot on his mind until it actually happens. Now, Baruch Hashem, I don't have first hand experience. But Lamaisa, no, there's a lot going on, and the Ovel is literally quite preoccupied for a while. You were the head of the Chevra Kadisha, isn't that right? So we have a good source of information on the subject. But that's number one. Number two, we'll see that there is such a concept. We'll see, we'll get to it. Of once the body is handed over to the Chevra Kadisha in a conclusive way, at which point the family is no longer involved at all in the proceedings, it's true, the concept of Oinin stops then. But it means no longer involved at all. If the family is still busy eulogizing, that's also called part of the business. And therefore the exemption will still apply.
So the area has been still be considered involved? Because that could go up to the last minute, the area has been.
Yes. If the family is still going to be going to the levaya and giving a spadim, etc., aninu stays in effect. What's that? Oh, so there is such a concept that if the family is going to the levaya, that's right. But there is such a concept, as we'll see soon. If the family hands it over to the Chevra Kadisha, let's say,
oh,
that's right, send the Eretz Yisrael, they hand it over to the Chevra Kadisha. Nobody is accompanying the body. The aninu stops as soon as it's handed over. We'll see. But as long as someone in the family is accompanying the body and considers himself involved and is following, for him it continues. That's right. Yeah.
I'm sure that case is an actual charge with the Bais Shomer.
I'm sorry?
I'm sure there's an actual charge with the Bais Shomer.
Oh, what happens if there's a shomer? What happens if the family provides a shomer? Does that take away aninus? We'll see. These are all.
Besides the shomer, there's
still a lot going on. Yeah. Well, we're going to see even more than that. What happens if you hire someone to tend to all the arrangements? We'll see. So you already showed that that's already questionable. We'll see. Then we're getting into questionable area. We'll see. We have a lot coming ahead of us.
Just an observation that a mace is like the most plumbing thing and one of the most polished things at the same time.
Seems strange. Yeah. It seems strange. But let me just point out one thing. I'm not going to properly answer the question now. I'll just make one observation. That a non-Jew's dead body has less severe tumor than that of a Jew. I wouldn't quite say that, because the truth is that a dead Jew's body, dead, has very great kedusha, as we'll see soon, which is why all these inyanim of kavod may supply.
And a dead non-Jew's body doesn't have that?
Not kedusha? To kedusha, certainly not. And tumah, to a lesser degree, at least according to some shitas. And also in general, Jews become much more tummy than non-Jews. A non-Jew doesn't become a zav. It's all the rabbanon and all the tumah of a Jew. A live non-Jew really can't become tummy at all. So tumah is not necessarily an indication of lesser kedusha, although it sometimes is. A complicated subject.
As you might hear, I'm just thinking a bit further. How tumah and kedusha coexist?
Tumah and kedusha can coexist. In fact, you know that a sefer Torah has tumah also.
That's because of Rabbanan.
That's true. But lamaisa has tumah. Tumah and kedusha can coexist. The halachic tumah, spiritual tumah, doesn't coexist with kedusha. But halachic tumah is a different story. It's something technical, as far as we're concerned.
Does an animal have tumah when it's dead?
Is that an animal? Does an animal's tumah is nevei? What's that? No. That's because it's nishchat kahalacha. It's an animal that was properly slaughtered. Doesn't have the tumah. Okay. So we'll begin. We're going to see. We've already touched on a lot of points that are going to be coming up. So now let's see. Mishemesai mutal lefanav. A person who's dead is in front of him. Pato mikriyashma. He's exempt from kriyashma. Uminatfila. Davening. Uminatfilin. Umikol mitzvah samuris batera. And from all mitzvahs of the Torah, as we already pointed out, this means positive mitzvahs. It does not mean negative mitzvahs. You certainly are bound by all negative mitzvahs. Now, as we'll see soon, this goes beyond the normal parameters of Isaac Mitzvah Pater Mitzvah. But now we move on. Noisei Hamita, the people who are carrying the bed, bier, I think you call it, v'chilufein, and those who are going to replace them. V'chilufei chilufein. Let's say they're going for a long distance. They're going to have to be replaced a few times. Those are going to replace them, and the replacers of the replacements. So here's how it works. Eshel ifnei amito v'eshel acha amito. So you have those who have already carried the bed, and those who have not yet carried the bed. So here's how it works. Again, we have a whole bunch of people who are slated to carry the bed. Some people are going to be doing their second round. So regarding people who have not yet carried the bed, if the mita requires them, they're going to be needed to carry the bed, they are pata from kriyashma, even though right now they're not carrying the bed, and also it's going to take a while until they will carry the bed. They're slated to carry the bed and they have not yet carried it, they are pata from kriyashma.
Even though they're doing this
well after the time for Shacharis arrived, you mean?
The time for Shacharis arrived 6 o'clock. The funeral is not until 9, 10 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, okay. We'll address that in the Gemara. Veshel Acha Amita, those who... You know what? I'll give the answer now already. No. We're talking about a case where the funeral has already departed. If a funeral has not yet set out, we say don't set out until everybody davens. If the funeral is called for 9 o'clock, everyone is expected to daven beforehand.
Yeah,
We're talking about a case, if the funeral already set out and these people have not yet davened, we say they're exempt. Okay. Veshala'acha amita, those who have already carried the bed, tzerech b'hen chayovim. Even if they will still be needed to carry again, they are chayiv, because they were already yoytze their main mitzvah. And therefore, the exemption no longer applies. Shlomo is asking, this seems very strange. What's the p'tur here? The p'tur here is oisik b'mitzvah, patur min ha-mitzvah. Person is involved in a mitzvah, it's patur. What's the difference if I already did some of the mitzvah or not? Lamaisa, I'm involved in a mitzvah and I'm needed for that mitzvah. So Tosfos asks that. And Tosfos says, we have to change the reading a bit. There's an alternative version of the Mishnah, and this is Lamaisa, the Halacha goes, that says, it reads a little differently. And the way it reads is, it makes no difference whether you already carried the bed or didn't carry the bed. Anybody who's still needed is Pater. Anybody who's not needed is Chayav. And that's actually how the Halacha is. Ve'elu ve'elu p'turim min ha'tfila. Both, everybody who's there is Pater from davening. Davening is already derabbanan, and Chachamim exempted them again because of Kvod HaMeis. Now, Kavro es HaMeis v'chazru. They buried the dead person. Once they buried the dead person, and now they're heading back. So the way it worked is, works this way. Now also, you see by a Levaya, bury the dead person, then they come to the parking lot or wherever, and everybody arranges themselves in two rows. The Ovel passes in between, and we give him a preliminary Tanchumin. So, when everybody's on their way back, Im yecholin lahaschil v'ligmor, ad shelo yagiu l'shuvo. So now also they're on their way to do a mitzvah. What we say, if you can complete Kriyat Shema before you reach the Shura, before you reach those two rows where you're going to be standing to offer condolences to the Avel, Yaschil, you begin. V'im lav lo yaschil. But if not, don't begin. Meaning we don't want to hold up the funeral proceedings. That's once again Oisik b'mitzvah. It's all part of the mitzvah. And therefore, if it's going to hold things up, don't start Kriyat Shema.
Because at that point you're no longer an
onen
at that moment.
The Ovel is not an onen anymore. But we're talking about the escorters, right? The rest of the people, the crowd. The crowd are still busy with the mitzvah of Nichum. Now, ha'oimdim b'shura. As far as the people are actually standing in the two rows to be menachem the Ovel, again, right? They form an aisle for him to walk through. So if you have a big crowd there, not everybody's at the front line of the row. Right, there's people behind.
Three, so, 3D.
What's that?
3D.
Three, yeah. So, you know, let me just finish this line, and then we'll, yeah. So, hapnimim turin, the innermost people are pater, because they're the ones directly exposed to the avel. Achitzanim chayovim, the outer ones who the avel doesn't really see. We'll see soon exactly in the Gemara what inner and outer means, but the ones who are kind of out of the picture are chayav. Yeah.
At what point can they begin Kriyashma? After the dervish completely filled in, while filling in the dirt, and walking away after it's filled in?
At what point can they begin it? I don't know. I don't know. I know that Anino stops once they start throwing on some of the dirt, but I don't know.
Anino stops as soon as they cover
the dirt. As soon as they start with the basic layer of dirt.
One layer
of dirt. But when does this break? I'm not sure. When does this break for the other Malavim? I'm not sure.
It would seem like if you hadn't recited Krishna then, so if you started then, you walk away from the grave. So you go to the end of the line, you've got time to do it.
Yeah, but somebody's got
to
be at the beginning of the line.
It all depends on who's right. Doing the shoveling, the people involved with the shoveling, and the people who are already doing shoveling.
Oh, that's right, we're going to get to that too. The shoveling, all these things are discussed. We'll see that. But that, your question. Also, I'm not sure how we cheshbon that. Yeah, in Ochanami, a person who... No, I'm sorry. You're suggesting that the guy standing at the end of the line should continue saying Kriyashma. That way, say no. Once the Ovel is passing through, everybody standing in the whole line is a part of the mitzvah, even though he isn't actually walking in front of you right now. You're forming the rows that he's walking through. Okay, what's that?
Why did the Mishnah list these mitzvahs separately? If it's all the mitzvahs, so why did you say both of them are the mitzvahs? How do we have to specify
Krishna, Sila, Kula? So we said that a person, immediate relative of the dead, is pater from Kriyashma, Tfila, and Tfilin, and all the mitzvahs of the Torah. Why are these three specified? So the Rishonim makes something of a big deal about that. And the truth is that there was a version in the of the Mishnah that didn't say Mikol mitzvahs on words of the Torah. Just said Kriyashma, Tfila, and Tfilin. Some wanted to say that he's only pater from these, since these require special intent. But the consensus of the Rishonim, and of course what's accepted La Halacha, is that that's not the case. These three are mentioned only because they're so much more fundamental mitzvahs. And you might think that these don't skip. They say no, he's pater even from these three and also from all the rest of the mitzvahs of the Torah. Okay, so really, bottom line of what we're seeing here is the oinin himself, the relative himself, has got an absolute pater. All the other people who are necessary for the proceedings are pater as well. Okay. So now the Gemara begins with an inference. Mutol lefanov in. The Mishnah says. Yeah, that's the parentheses we're going to skip. We skip as a matter of policy. Square brackets we read. Round parentheses we skip. It's going to show up in a later as a Mishnah on its own next. So the Gemara begins. Mutol lefanov in. Mishnah says, look carefully the wording in the Mishnah. It said, a person who's dead is in front of him. Which implies, when you're in the presence of the dead person. Then you potter. This implies that if you're not there, let's say you left the house, then you're not exempt. You do all the mitzvahs.
But also just dead is not buried.
I'm sorry?
Take a joint, just to mean dead is not buried.
Oh. Perhaps. Let's see. But meanwhile, we're assuming that the Mishnah means what it says literally, that if the dead is in front of you, you're exempt. If not, you're chayav. Now, Uramini, we're going to pose a contradiction to that. Now, here's a brisa that really lays out the full range of the dinim of an oinim. Mishemesoi mutal lefanov. Person who's dead is in front of him. Oichel bevayis acher. Must eat in a different house. For practical purposes, different house means a different room. In those days, houses were one room. So, it was one in a different house. There's no, you don't have a different house or a different room, just have a one roomer. Eat in somebody else's house. You're not allowed to eat in the presence of the dead person. If you have no friend's house available, the only Jew in the area, you have to make a set up a partition and eat. This doesn't mean that you have to actually bring in a contractor and build a brick wall. It's enough to put a sheet or something like that, but it has to be well fastened. If you have nothing with which to make a partition, so you turn away. At least just turn away from the dead person and eat. This, once again, is an issue of kavod hametz, covet to the dead person. Interesting form of covet, something we're going to be seeing soon. Rashi says, this is based on the pasuk of lo yegel rash, sensitivity to the dead person. We don't, what's that? No, he's not making a bracha anyways, as we'll see soon. He's not making a bracha. But eating in front of a dead person is taunting him because this is already something he doesn't do anymore. You might think that person is uninterested in eating anymore. Well, again, there's two issues here. The truth is that it's a question among the Mefarshim. Exactly, I don't understand the point here. Either the point is that no, it's also for anybody to eat in front of the dead person, because at the end of the day, the fact that he's no longer a part of this world is painful for him. He does sense what's going on around him. We're going to discuss that later in the Gemara. And therefore, it's called a taunt. Oh, that's right. And I'm sorry? That's right, that's all coming up. That's right, that's the same point. Sensitivity for the dead person.
A person on a respirator, would that be also disrespectful to eat in front of him?
No, unless he sees that it will bother him. But otherwise, no, this issue doesn't apply.
No, but since you don't want to make them jealous, what are they going to be jealous of?
That's what we just explained. We just explained that. That the fact that he's not a part of this world anymore is highlighted by all the functions of this world. It's painful for him that he's not a part of this world anymore. And therefore, yes, it's considered a taunt to do any of the functions of this world that he's no longer a part of.
Sitting, standing, talking, the truth is,
sitting and standing is inevitable. Talking, the truth is, that too is not a simple thing. Talking must either, well, we'll see soon, either has to be limited to talking about the dead person, or at least not to divrei Torah. We'll see. But yes, basically the point is that when you're in the presence of the dead person, all the attention should be focused on him.
So again, that's why I preempted this.
I said that the point is that the fact that he's not a part of this world anymore is painful, and that is highlighted through any of the this world like activities. Not necessarily. Now, the truth is that it's not necessarily so simple that he is not jealous of the food either. Meaning I'm explaining that he's jealous, it hurts him the fact that he's not a part of this world. But the truth is that it could be even the food itself. He wants the chalent. Well, chalent we'll see. Shabbos is a different story. We'll see. But the pastrami, not pastrami because he's not eating meat or wine. He wants the pizza. Because the truth is, this is bought down his farm. I don't know exactly how this works, but for the transition, the detachment from this world is not an easy process for the dead body, for the dead person. So he dies still with the desires that he had in this world. He still feels it takes a while to get over them, and not having them, at least at the initial stage, could be painful. This is part of what Chazal mean when they say "Ritzencha shalei tamos, musa shalei tamos." You don't want to die, die before you die. Meaning, detach yourself. Become non-dependent on these things before you go, and then the transition won't be as painful. So therefore, yes, it's quite likely that just the very fact that you're eating popcorn already brings a certain, if you liked popcorn, is a certain taunt. But there are others who understand this differently. The way I just explained it now is Rashi, the Shach understands it this way. But the Taz understands that that's not, the point is not that he has a problem with people eating around him. The point is that his relative is supposed, at least in the dead person's presence, is supposed to be involved with nothing other than the dead person. The fact that the relative is sitting down for a meal is already a certain insult. Yeah. And therefore, do it out of his presence.
Don't feel like eating.
Right. Yeah.
But is this going to come from the other way around.
The Mason Choshim might apply to that. Oh, so here we're seeing that it's taken to a bit further. It's even related to physical pleasures, according to this understanding. Again, according to the Taz's understanding, that's not the issue. The issue is that the relative of the dead person should not show involvement in anything else. For strangers, it might be acceptable.
This is a presumptuous book. We just did the Ein Yaakov shir with Rabbi Linowitz. We just did the story about the guy sent to the graveyard on Rosh Hashanah, the two girls.
Oh wow, it's coming up, yeah.
I know, it's coming up pretty soon. And Rabbi Linowitz like went into it a lot about like what do people know about once they die about this world. A lot of people quarrel, a lot of different opinions, etc. Not surprisingly, but if there's any kind of like vaguely common kind of thread, is that people are not aware of what's going on in the world in general, but they are aware of what's going on with their body.
I'm sorry, they are aware of what's going on
with their body. Okay, so there is in a kind of a feeling sense. So it could be like if somebody is they are feeling that they do
sense what's going on around them. Exactly in what way, Baruch Hashem, I can't tell you yet, but yes, we're going to see very clearly that they are quite keenly aware of things going on around it. Okay. That would actually be a halachic implication of whether the point is that you shouldn't show involvement in anything else, or just don't taunt him by eating, whether this is only an issue for relatives or for other people. So ma'aseh machlokes in the poskim. Whether this is limited to relatives, what if the stamach shomer, can he eat a sandwich? So ma'aseh machlokes in the poskim. I don't know, what's the minhag of Georgia? I don't know the minhag of ma'aseh. Many different minhagim. Okay. Yeah. All right. Okay. What? Yeah. Okay. What's that? No, then for sure not. The question is if perhaps strangers are allowed to. And that depends on the differing explanations. For the seven, it's definitely also.
They can't eat?
In front of the dead body.
No, not
right, so that's what we're saying here, that they have to be somewhere else. If there's nowhere else to be, turn your face away. Okay. Now, ve'enay meisiv o'eichel. You cannot recline and eat, meaning, even when you're not in the presence of the dead person, the oine, the relative, cannot recline and eat. Ve'enay yuchil basa, ve'enay sheisa yayin. Not allowed to eat meat, not allowed to drink wine. Now, this is interesting, because we might take this, yeah, sure, he's in such a state of mourning, but the point here is not that these are joyous. An avel is allowed to eat meat and drink wine. Right? As soon as avel starts, person is buried, can dig into the meat and the wine. The issue here, not the Suda Savra, that's right. But throughout the Shiva, right? But the point here is the reason why meat and wine is prohibited is for a very technical reason. We don't want them eating meals that they can get caught up in too much. That's the issue here. That's all. Now, ve'enay mevarech makes no brachas, no hamoitzi, ve'enay mezame. He doesn't join a zimon, which means that he doesn't bench. Ve'en mevarchin olav, and nobody else should be moitzi him either. I might say, alright, so we'll be moitzi you. No, nobody should be moitzi him. Ve'en mezamnin olav. And nobody else, they should not join him for a zimon. Upatur mikriyashma uminatfila uminatfilin. And he's exempt from kriyashma, tefillah, tefillin, when we call mitzvahs amuras b'teirah. From all the other mitzvahs in the Torah. Mitzvahs aseh, right, that has to be stressed. Only mitzvahs aseh. By the way, one interesting implication is one thing that kind of, no brachas, no amens, no nothing. There's one thing that you might get confused about, and that is he has to wash before he eats bread. That's the one thing he has to do. He has to wash before he eats bread. Why? Because that's not considered a mitzvah to say. It's also to eat bread without washing. It's not that there's a mitzvah to say to wash. It's also to eat bread without washing.
Also washing in the morning?
What's that?
Also washing in the morning?
I would guess so. I'm not sure. I don't know. I don't know.
What if he's number 10 for a minute?
Nothing. He stays home? Yes. Yes. What's that? Oh yeah, it's only part of the hand. But an oinin would wash until say negel vaser in the morning. I don't know. Right, so it might be maybe. I don't know.
Is he doing meis mitzvah?
What's that?
Is he
potter
from
Meis Mitzvah or Chayv Mitzvah? That's an interesting question. What's interesting is that the Chazon Ish actually says, I mentioned before that the truth is that the dinim of Oinin go beyond the normal rules of Oisek Mitzvah, Potter Mena Mitzvah. Chazon Ish points this out. He says that normally, once the time for Kriyat Shema starts, you get involved in a mitzvah, you're not exempt from Kriyat Shema. Kriyat Shema came first. So Chazon Ish says, here we see that doesn't matter what came first. As soon as the relative dies, knocks everything else out of the ballpark. The Chazon Ish notes, this is in excess of the normal rules of Oisek Mitzvah, Potter Mena Mitzvah. And the Chazon Ish says that what's the source for this? The source for this is that pasuk. That you see that there's a special pasuk telling you that Meis Mitzvah overrides everything. There's a pasuk that says, a person is on his way to do the Korban Pesach, which means that the time for Pesach already came, finds a Meis Mitzvah, he skips the Korban Pesach and takes care of the Meis Mitzvah. Chazon Ish says that that's the idea here too. Most people are not Meis Mitzvah, why? Because they have relatives. So for the relative is a Meis Mitzvah. So therefore he says that that's a part of the concept of Oinin. It's the issue of a Meis Mitzvah. So I would imagine that a person busy with a Meis Mitzvah should not interrupt to go take care of a different Meis Mitzvah. But that's a guess.
The question is,
Or basically, you could do a month later. What if your son's 8 days old?
Same thing. Right? You're very good. You're hitting on the case that the Gemara says too. It says both those cases. Person is on his way to bring a Korban Pesach or to circumcise his son. Those are the two things the Gemara says. Then he hears somebody dies. He sees a Meis Mitzvah. He goes off to take care of the Meis Mitzvah. Okay. So now, Ubi Shabbos. How does it work on Shabbos? Oh, everything changes. Meisiv, Oichel, he reclines and he eats. Oichel Basa, Vishesi Yayin, he eats meat and he drinks wine. Umevorech, Umezamen, and he makes brachas and he benches, Umevorechin Allah, Umezamen Allah, and others who can be Moitzim or join him in the Zimun. Vechayev, Bekol Ha Mitzvah, Samuris Vatayah. And he is Chayev in all the mitzvahs of the Torah. Aban Shem ben Gamliel Oina, Mitoich Shenis Chayev Be'elu, Nis Chayev Be'kula. Once he's chayev in all these mitzvahs, he's chayev in all mitzvahs. What's Rav Shimon Gamliel adding? Didn't the Tanakhama just say that? Omar Rabbi Yechanan. Rabbi Yechanan says there's a sort of machloikis between them. One mitzvah. My binayu. What's the machloikis between them? Tashmish hamita ika binayu. Machloikis is about marital relations. Meaning, Tanakhama said, yes, you should do all the mitzvahs of the Torah, but not marital relations. That's already too much. Shimon Gamliel says no, even marital relations. A maisa we pass like the Tanakhama. No marital relations either.
Doesn't do with the spara. The spara is that you're ose with the mace, you're not ose with the mace Friday night, any more so than you'd be rest of Shabbos.
Ah. Okay. Well, there's a double issue here. There's an issue of, yes, person is oisik with the meis, and on Shabbos, there's nothing to be busy with. So therefore you're chayiv in all the mitzvahs. But there is also an issue of kvoid ha-meis, which is underlying here all the time. And therefore we say that even though on Shabbos, we say, okay, you know, do your things, but marital relations is considered too much of a disregard of the fact that l'maisa you have a dead person in front of you. And therefore that already we don't allow. No, this is not Avelus. None of this is right. Avelus is not relevant here. Right. And the truth is that's also the reason. And the truth is that's also the reason why all these things come into play is not because Shabbos overrides. It's not why. The reason is because you're not busy with the mitzvah now, so the exemption doesn't apply. That's why that's why all this comes into play. Now, why did we bring all this in? Okay, it certainly gives us a broader picture of the concept of Einin. But why did we bring it all in? Because Ktani Mias, whatever the case is, this brisa says, Poto mikriyashma uminatfila uminatfilin umikol mitzvahs amulas v'teira. So the person who has his dead, who has a dead relative, is poter. Now, can this brisa mean only when he's in the dead person's presence? No, because the brisa explicitly said, if he's in the same place, he should go somewhere else. Don't eat in his presence. It said, don't eat in his presence, go somewhere else. And then it says, he's potter from benching, etc., etc., etc. So you see that even when he's not in the dead person's presence, all these exemptions apply. How does that work with our Mishnah, which says, when you're in the dead person's presence? So Omar Rav Papa. Rav Papa says, you're right. The Mishnah implies that the exemption applies only in the dead person's presence, and that's how the brice is to be understood too. And therefore, indeed, when a person goes somewhere else to eat, he's chayiv. When we say that you're potter, it means only in that last specific case where he didn't have anywhere else to eat and he couldn't make a partition, so he is sitting in the dead person's presence. And he's turning his face away. Then we say that he's exempt because he's in the dead person's presence. But in any other case, when you're not in the dead person's presence, yes, all that mitzvahs apply. That's Rav Papa's take on this. So he's very much limiting the concept of aninus. The whole concept of aninus only applies when a person is actually in the dead person's presence. Ramashi Yoma. Ravashi says no. This is going to sound a bit more familiar in Halacha Lamaisa. Kivon Shemutol Olam LeKoyvay. When the Mishnah says, and this is what Stan suggested before, when the Mishnah said, if your debt is in front of you, what it actually means is Kivon Shemutol Olam LeKoyvay. As long as it's incumbent upon one to bury the dead person, Kimutol LeFanav Domi. That's called that it's in front of him, even if he's not there, even if he's in a different town. Shenema, if you want, you have an explicit pasuk to this effect. Vayokom Avram me'al pnei Mesa. It says that Avram eulogized Sarah, right? And then it says that he got up and he went away from his dead. He went to find her a keva. And then what does it say? Venema, when he's talking to the Bnei Ches, which explicitly the pasuk stresses was not in front of the dead, right? He says, give me a plot, so I can bury my dead from in front of me. So you see that even when he was not in her presence, he was talking as though she's in front of him. Why? Because as long as the dead, it's incumbent upon one to bury the dead, it's called that it's in front of him. So, kozman shemutol alav lekoivoy, kemutol lefanav dami. As long as it's incumbent upon one to bury the dead, it's as though it's actually in front of him. Okay, so we've seen the basic spread of how Anidus works. Now, the concept of Anidus is extremely complicated once you get into the level of Paiskin. And just because I want to give a little bit of a taste of the next level of discussion, I want to begin seeing this Tosfos here. We'll see a few minutes of it now, and we'll see if we'll continue it next time or not. Tosfos down at the bottom here, back on Yedzayin Amud Beis, we'll see it together. Ve'enai mevarech. We'll go through it slowly. Mishnah had said that he does not recite Hamoitzi. Pirush Rashi, ve'en zokuk levarech. So Rashi explained, what does it mean that he does not recite Hamoitzi? It means he does not have to recite Hamoitzi. What if he's pious and he wants to? So, mashma mitoich pirushay. Rashi seems to imply, she'im rotzo levarech, that if he wants to make the bracha, rashai, he's allowed to. Now, is that so? Miu, however, birushalmi ko'omar. In Yerushalmi it says, im rotzo lahachmir ein shoymin loy. If he wants to be machmir and he wants to perform a mitzvah, we do not accept. We don't allow it. Therefore, when it says he does not make a bracha, it means einoy rashai levarich. He is not allowed to make a bracha. It's not just that he's exempt, it's true, but it's more than that. It's usur for him to make a bracha, and like we said, it's tricky because these are things that come automatically. Even just, Yerushalmi specifies, even just saying amen is usur, as the Shulchan Aruch indeed rules in Yeridea. Now here we get onto we start breaking down this whole concept a bit more. It's a fundamental discussion in Yerushalmi, which the place can spend a lot of time on. Umefarish b'Yerushalmi. Now Yerushalmi continues to elaborate and says, Lama, why is it that he's not allowed? And here also we're seeing that this is going beyond the normal parameters of Oisek B'Mitzvah. Normally Oisek B'Mitzvah, if a person is capable of doing both, why not? He's encouraged to, right? And here is answering amen going to disrupt his business with his tending to the burial arrangements. The karma. So Yerushalmi says the reason is one of two reasons: either mipnei kvoidei, either it's an issue of the honor of the dead person. Don't involve yourself in anything else. The fact that person chooses to do a mitzvah. Right? He doesn't. The fact that he has a mind for anything else is an insult. Or maybe it's technical. Since Lamaisa, he needs to be tending to the burial arrangements, we don't want him distracting himself with anything else. So that's the suffix of the Yerushalmi. Is it because it's insulting to the dead? It's a disgrace to the dead? Or is it because technical? We don't want you to get preoccupied with anything else. This, as we'll see soon, has very important practical implications. A lot of very practical halachic implications. We'll see Bezmas Hashem. Okay, we'll stop here now.